mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you had really been paying attention Sunday, you notice that the second reading is the same reading we had on Sunday. And that's because when we have our lectionary, the lectionary goes for the entire week, basically, we use part of this. And today, my sermon is based on that, too. So not only did you hear it Sunday, but you're hearing it today. You know, we're going to be talking about the broken heart today. Hearts can be cold. They can be happy. They can be cruel. They can be hundreds of dark and captive. And they can be achy and breaky. I couldn't resist that. And Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. But what is the heart that he's healing? Are we talking about the organ that pumps blood and keeps us alive? Because once that's broken, we're not really going to be able to continue without that heart, are we? No. The human heart can be transplanted. But once it's broken, it's done in a physical sense. God talks about transplanting our hard hearts of stone and replacing them with a heart of flesh. We just heard that. And that was what really makes us his people. It's the same thing that York showed us today. All right, so what is this heart? And how would the Bible really make us understand it? Well, you've all seen how I do my Bible study. And so I wondered, how many times is the word heart used in the Bible? And it shows up over 1,000 times. And I thought, okay, heart and soul, you know, that old tune out of the 40s. So I looked up soul. Boy, heart's in there more than double the time soul is. So I usually look at that, and it tells me that God considers some things more important than others. So why is heart more important than soul? We're going to look at that. Well, the heart is the center of our human life, isn't it? You know, when we look at feelings, desires, and emotions, those are all, we could say, contained in the heart. Okay? Although I have to admit to you that when you translate the Bible, many of the times it says kidneys that we translate it as heart, and sometimes it says stomach, and sometimes it says liver. But as I've shared with you before, when the fetus grows and the brain cells start to develop, they split. Half of them go down here, half of them stay up here. It's called the endemic system. And so that means that as we look at these kind of things, that the center of what we think is not only here, but here, but the center of what we feel is here. Does that make sense to you? The conscience says, bear witness to the law written on the heart. That's Romans 2. And Paul says in Romans 10, the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. And what he goes on to say, that is the word of faith that we preach. In chapter 9, Paul says that as you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And again in chapter 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ian Hammer is a theologian that I was reading on this, and he says the heart is what brings all of us together, or all of this together, in a person's life. So the heart is the person and the many functions and activities by which we come to know the person, as we say they are expressions of the heart. So it is through the heart that man is fundamentally a religious person or a God-related being. So when we think of Jesus healing a broken heart, we think of Jesus healing an entire person. So it's not just here, it's the things that happen in our whole being. And it's through that healing that we connect with God. And I'm going to talk about that today, because that, I was, when you were doing this thing, Bjork, I was thinking, geez, there's my sermon, you know, right there. Okay. Boy, stealing all this stuff. Well, spirit. I think this is what, when we talk about healing the broken heart, it's that broken spirit. So our spirit is the foundation stone of our human identity. If the spirit, if the heart is away from God, don't you think that's going to have consequences on that person? Yeah, I do too. Jesus confirmed the truth of this process when he said, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's say that one again. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, our one author, you know, this is one of the other people I read through this, has talked about how God anointed Christ as prophet to preach at least five messages. The first one is forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. That's important, isn't it? Okay, our sins are forgiven, we're back with him. The destruction of the devil's power and freedom from bondage is the second. The third one, treating others with compassion as the loved creation of God. The fourth one, inviting those freed to become God's new people, evangelism. And then finally, changing the hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Now, folks, that last one comes from the Old Testament. Especially when we were looking at the end of the exile and the coming of the Messiah. But it's not just in the book of Exodus. Because we know that in the book of Exodus, how many times does Moses talk to Pharaoh and ask to let his people go? And the Bible says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. How many times does that happen? You know, you're going to go to the Bible quizlet. 11 times. Okay. I mean, it gave him plenty of time to do that. But also, it's not just in Exodus, but Ezekiel 36. It will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And in Jeremiah, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Jesus came to change those hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. And he taught on that a lot. That became one of the centers of his ministry. The heart was, quote, the inner life, the center of personality, and the place where God reveals himself. So how many times did Jesus talk about turning hearts of stone into flesh, or changing one's heart? Over 50 times in the Gospels. But people are in need of that heart transplant. You know, because before we come to Jesus, aren't our hearts spiritually dead? You know, he doesn't talk to us unless we believe, unless he's in our hearts, unless he's in us and we are in him. You know, I think in the gospel, Jesus seems to encourage them to develop, and as I was studying this, I thought there's three main points that Jesus teaches us. And so with his help, these are supposed to do. The first one is a heart of mercy. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's in Matthew 9. Think about that for a second. Jesus doesn't want us to sacrifice to God. He wants our mercy. But is it mercy to him or mercy to others? others. The second is a heart of love. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Remember, I've talked to you about the imperatives, and that's in the imperative form in Greek. So it's one of those when mom and dad look at you and say, no, this is not a suggestion. This is you will love one another. But boy, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Yeah. And then the third is a heart of faith. I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. All right, so mercy, love, and faith. Jeez, those sound a little familiar with Christians, don't they? So, if Jesus came to change hearts, what do we do if that heart is broken? And how do hearts get broken? They get broken when the law is preached and they understand there is nothing they have done or can them or can do to get in a right relationship with God. When our focus is the law and not the gospel, is our heart broken? You know, it's going back to that. We talked about that today. When we have a focus of just law, we're not Christian. It's the grace of the gospel that makes us Christian. If your relationship is brokenhearted with God, can it be unbroken with the people around you? No, it's broken there too. One of the things that was interesting is we had just left Texas when that hurricane hit there, and then we came here and experienced a hurricane. Big win. But but the thing is, it was interesting to hear from my pastoral friends in Texas. You know, I was there long enough, and I made friends both in the LCMC and the Missouri Synod and the NALC. And so a lot of these guys that I had made friends out, you know, in Winkles together, were frustrated because they had their people taking off. And so they didn't have a congregation to minister to. Yeah, and as a pastor, what happens when your people aren't there to be ministered to? What do you do as a pastor? Yeah, it's about right, you know. I was so surprised when I heard the guys talking about that, because it was so frustrating that those people weren't there. Well, so you go out and you minister to the people who are there. But so many of us, you know, put rules. Yeah. Doesn't make any difference. One of the things that happened at the seminary, we had the Lutheran World Relief people from the Missouri Synod come and talk to us. And they went, when that huge earthquake hit Mexico, they were down there. And little towns that go and work with people, what do you need? They bring water, bring food, you know, this kind of thing. And it was so surprising because the Roman Catholic Church wasn't doing that, but the Lutheran Church. And so entire little towns joined the church. Why? Because they cared. You know, if we only care for certain people, aren't we Christian? Ooh, yeah, a heavy question, isn't it? You know, when we're Christian, we care for everybody. And I think, too, the whole situation was crazy. Here, there are people that they were supposed to minister weren't there to, and so they got angry. Instead of getting out, starting over, and minister to the people who are there. Well, doesn't that sound crazy? Yeah, it's the obvious answer, but a lot of these guys didn't see that. Is it right? No. Is it human? Yes. Now, as I was getting ready for the sermon today, I thought, Warren, well, the pastors felt abandoned. Okay, because this is a give and take relationship. You know, as I've said to you, many times you say, oh, we're so happy you came. Well, we're happy you came too, because I get just as much from you people as I give. You know, and that's really one of the great things about this relationship, is we're a family. We do for each other. And we gain from each other. It's just not me to you, it's from you to me. When they wanted to minister to people, it turned around that their people, the minister, was there. And so what they're saying is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think about that for a second. Jesus said it to God. You know, it's one of the questions that one of the our parishioners gave me, questions they've always had about the Bible. So why does Jesus say that? Did God really forsake him? No. But yet, Jesus felt that way, didn't he? And you know, as we get into this, there's always that human side that thinks that way. That was the human side. And we're all human. To be a Christian takes a lot of work. But you know, that work gets easy when our hearts are soft, when our hearts are no longer stone in our flesh. And so when we look at our readings today, when we remember, as I read to you in those hymns today, Christ's suffering for us, what he went through for us, makes us stronger in him. As we saw in the big picture, is that a word used for that? Is we are magnified, as we saw today, in him, aren't we? Isn't that the blessing of being a Christian? What a great blessing that is. Let us pray. You know, our Heavenly Father, we come to you today with hearts of stone, but yet when you are with us and you, when you enter those hearts, they become softened, they become flesh, and they become mercy, love, and faith. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you've done to us, but what we really need is to be empowered to go out and share that with others, to bring your love and mercy and give the faith to those who are in need. Help us with that, Lord. But help us to be great servants of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.